The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Again, welcome to Bob Burney Live. And just a quick note. Evidently, we got a problem with our phone system. Some of you have been trying to get through on the phones, and it ain't working. So I don't know what it is. We have our highly trained staff. We have hundreds of people working on it right now as we speak. Well, we're working on it. So we're going to try to find out what the problem is and try to get it working. But right now, our phone lines are not working, and I apologize. Let me just say one or two more things about this controversy that occurred over the weekend at a megachurch in Cincinnati. A speaker from the Center for Christian Virtue was invited to speak, spoke in all three services, got standing ovation in all three services. Pastoral staff praised him, thanked him, and then the LGBTQ community began calling them and complaining. And sadly, and I mean sadly, instead of standing for the truth, they threw the Center for Christian Virtue under the bus and issued an apology. Now, here's the sad thing. That will not appease the radicals. Now, you folks know this because you're smarter than the average bear. It is never enough. You never do enough to appease the radicals. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, you're not going to appease them. So just take a stand for the truth and face the consequences. This is going to become more and more important as our country and our world slides farther and farther away from biblical truth. So just make up your mind. You're going to love like Jesus loves, but you're going to tell the truth. You're going to name sin as sin. You're going to tell the truth about family, sexuality, gender. You're going to tell people what God's principles and God's standards are. And if people get upset and people get offended, so be it. Listen, the gospel itself is offensive because it begins with, you're a sinner. That's where it begins. You're a sinner. You are separated from God because of your sin, and you are in desperate need of salvation, redemption, and forgiveness. In our culture today, that's incredibly offensive, no matter how loving you say it or present it. So if you preach the truth, you're going to take hits. Be prepared, be ready, and take it. Don't compromise on truth. Don't do it. And that's, I said this yesterday, but let me repeat it again today. It is going to become more and more and more difficult for your church and your pastor to take a stand for truth. It's going to become more and more difficult. You make sure that your pastor knows that you've got his back when he tells the truth. You're going to support your church even if it means controversy. Don't run from the truth. All right, enough. Let's move on. Most of you have been following what's been going on out in Washington State and in Oregon. Seattle has become a hotbed of riots, looting, and so is Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon is far, far, far left. And for days, for weeks, for months, they had demonstrations, protests, and yes, riots and looting day after day after day. It just went on and on and on. And what was the response from the mayor and the city government in Portland? Yeah, blame it on the police. We need to defund the police. That's what they did in Seattle. That's what they did in Portland, Oregon. We got to defund the police. The police are the problem. Not evil people, regardless of the color of their skin. No, it's the police. Mayor Ted Wheeler spoke out often about how we need to cut the funding to police. We need to reform police. Well, his tune has changed dramatically. Here is a headline from a publication out west. After weekend of violence, Portland's mayor says, quote, "We will fight for more police officers." Yeah. Here's the story. There's a whole paragraph there about the crime and shootings and so forth. Quote, "That was only one of four shootings that police responded to within 4 hours early Saturday morning. One of the other shootings was also deadly, bringing the number of homicides in the city this year up to 51. Now get this. Portland, Oregon is desperately concerned about 51 murders this year. Do you know how many we've had here in Columbus? Yeah, check it out. Anyway, back to the story. In response to the ongoing violence, listen to this. Mayor Wheeler said it was clear police did not have enough resources and vowed to fight for more officers. Isn't this the same Ted Wheeler that just months ago said, we got a problem with our police, we need to defund the police? He went on, and I quote from Mayor Ted Wheeler. "It is obvious from where I sit that we do not have adequate resources deployed on our streets in a proactive way. To try and protect downtown better, the mayor said they are looking at ways to bring more officers in from surrounding precincts. The local police bureau in Portland is down 125 officers in the past year." Again, quoting Mayor Wheeler, "And so I will fight for additional resources for the police bureau. I will fight for more police officers, and I will fight for more tools and whatever support the police bureau needs to get its job done," said Mayor Ted Wheeler. What a turnaround. Yeah, this is also the city that disbanded their gun violence reduction team. That was part of the defunding about a year ago. They had a gun violence reduction team that was actually pretty efficient, and they got rid of that. And so, quote, "In his press conference about the violence Saturday, the mayor praised the work of the new community safety team, which is a revamped version of the gun violence reduction team, which was canceled last year." So they gave it a new name and brought it back. The gun violence reduction team, bad. But the community safety team, that's good. Same people, same purpose, different name. I suppose the good news out of that story is we got an Uber leftist mayor who is finally waking up and realizing, you know, maybe the police weren't the problem. Maybe we actually need more police. Now, that's in a city with half as many homicides as Columbus, Ohio. We can only hope that our mayor will have an awakening like the mayor of Portland, Oregon. We can only hope.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
We are accustomed to trouble in the Middle East. We are accustomed to wars in the Middle East. But we are not accustomed to ice cream wars. Yeah, evidently the new Prime Minister of Israel, Naftali Bennett, Benjamin Netanyahu was the Prime Minister for such a long time. Prime Minister Bennett is fairly new, and I'm reading between the lines here. But he must love Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Otherwise, why would the Prime Minister of a country go to war with an ice cream company? Now, in case you weren't listening yesterday and you haven't heard, Ben and Jerry's, the uber leftist ice cream company that was founded up in Vermont, was bought by Unilever a few years ago. Back in 2000, Unilever acquired the ice cream company back in 2000. Well, the BDS movement, the movement to divest any investment or whatever in Israel, it's anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, far left, progressive. Israel is the aggressor. Israel is the occupier, even though you and I know that that entire land was given to the nation of Israel by God. God gave that land to Israel, not the Palestinians. Now, you know that, I know that, but, well, anyway. Well, the West Bank Gaza Strip is inhabited by Palestinians, but there are Jewish settlements there. Well, the far left and the Palestinian leaders say that the Jews are occupiers in those places. No, that land belongs to them. But anyway, Ben and Jerry's parent company, Unilever, said, we are no longer going to allow our ice cream to be sold to Jews in occupied territories. Now, again, the Jews are singled out. We're not going to sell ice cream to those Jews in the occupied territories any longer. Well, there's a problem. The franchisee, the owner of Ben and Jerry's in Israel, has said, hey, wait a minute. We got a license here. Of course we can sell it. We are licensed to sell your product. Well, Unilever says, well, we're not gonna renew your license when it ends. And so the battle has begun, and it's an ice cream war. And get this. Let me read from the Jerusalem Post. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett told the head of Unilever yesterday that Israel will act aggressively against Ben and Jerry's over the subsidiary's decision to stop selling ice cream in Israeli settlements in the West Bank and also East Jerusalem. The Prime Minister has gotten involved in the Ben and Jerry's ice cream controversy. Quote, Bennett's office said in a statement that he spoke with Unilever CEO Alan Jope about what he called Ben and Jerry's clearly anti-Israel step, adding that the move would have serious consequences, legal and otherwise, and that it will act aggressively against all boycott actions directed against its citizens. The Israel licensee is a gentleman by the name of Avi Zinger. He is CEO of Ben & Jerry's Israel. Well, Avi Zinger told a local broadcast outlet yesterday that the parent company had long pressured him to cease distribution in the Israeli-occupied territories, but he refused because it would violate Israeli law. He called Ben and Jerry's decision to not extend his license the biggest accomplishment of the BDS movement that advocates boycotts, divestment, and sanctions of Israeli institutions and businesses in what it says is a nonviolent campaign against Israeli abuses against Palestinians. That interesting? That ice cream would be used as a weapon in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But the owner of the license in Israel has indicated he has every motive to continue selling his ice cream to Jews in the Jewish settlements. Ice cream wars in the Middle East. A very quick update. Out of Missouri, Missouri passed a very aggressive pro-life bill 2 or 3 years ago. It has been going through the courts. Planned Parenthood has appealed it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A panel of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against the state last year. Well, the entire Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has agreed to hear the case. Three-judge panel of the Eighth Circuit Court previously upheld an injunction from U.S. District Judge Howard Sachs prohibiting Missouri from enforcing the provisions, but the full appeals court will now consider the case. We can only hope that when the full court hears this case. By the way, part of the law is a prohibition of aborting a baby simply because of a Down syndrome diagnosis. So it's another one of those laws that sooner or later is going to make it to the Supreme Court. We'll keep an eye on that. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
This is AM 880 WRFD and 104.5 FM.
Life-changing radio.